It is just one of the movable feasts of the Catholic Church. The Sunday before Easter, known as Palm Sunday, is celebrated by Christians all around the world. It is a time to remember Christ's passion from the moment he rode triumphant into the city of Jerusalem astride a donkey to his painful journey up Mount Calvary and his crucifixion. Pope Benedict focused on Christ's last hours in the second of his two books on Jesus of Nazareth. In it, he offers a new glimpse of the man Jesus and the divine Christ, whose suffering was to bring new hope and new life to humanity. Monsignor Anthony Figueredo of the Pontifical Council Cor Unum spoke with me about how we are called to remember Christ's passion on Palm Sunday.
It's beautiful because there's a procession. And what does that procession signify for Pope Benedict? He's often talked about this sequela, this following of Christ. And being a Christian means to follow Jesus. Where to? To the cross, which ultimately leads to the resurrection. But there's no resurrection without the cross. And what Pope Benedict, what the Church says to us, is this is the way of fulfillment. This is the way of happiness. What does this concretely mean? You know that Jesus begins his journey to Jerusalem in Jericho. Jericho is one of the lowest points in the whole of the world. It's some 250 meters below sea level. Who does he meet there? You know, he meets Zacchaeus. He meets the blind man. People who are really in need of help. And in fact, Bartimaeus is healed there, and he follows Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. This great ascent, and Jerusalem itself is some 750 meters above sea level. So there's this ascent of 1,000 meters or so. So what does this ascent signify? The Pope Benedict talks about ascending to the heights. And this is what we're called to ascend to, the heights. What does this mean concretely for our lives? Generosity, to enter God's will. To enter being open to life, to enter the cross, to enter looking after the one who is sick, to enter looking after the one whom the world says is useless to us, the sick, the handicapped, the elderly. This is where we experience the heights of love. And conversely, we also have the depths. Where do we need to be pulled out from? What depth are you and I living today? Maybe disappointment, maybe failure, maybe discouragement, maybe a particular sin that is keeping us enslaved. The Lord wants us to come out and follow him all the way to Jerusalem, where he nails our sins to the cross, takes them to the tomb, and he raises them up to new life with Christ. So this is the ascent. Certainly there's a physical ascent, but there's also a spiritual ascent that Pope Benedict calls us to. The other element, Tracy, is that when Jesus, where is he going to? He goes to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is the place of the temple. It's where God is found. But it's interesting because when Jesus literally enters on into Jerusalem, remember he enters on this donkey, on this colt. And Pope Benedict talks about this in his book because it's the fulfillment of the ancient prophecy of Zechariah. Look, your king is coming, humble, riding on this donkey. And the people remember this. They remember that this is the Messiah. And so they begin to lay down their cloaks, and they begin to cut the branches, and they begin to sing Hosanna to God in the highest. And we too are called to join in this procession, to say, look, God, you have really worked miracles in my life. You have done things well in my life. I too want to join in this song with you. So we're really called to be taken up in this procession with Jesus. But what does he find when he enters the temple area? You know, there's the temple was split into various sections, and there was the atrium of the pagans, where the pagans were not allowed into the temple area itself. And it's interesting because this area of the pagans was filled with money changers, and they were selling things, livestock, merchants, money changers. And this had been allowed by the religious authorities. I mean, at the end of the day, it was a way of making money. And Pope Benedict, in one of his homilies, he calls us to task, and he says, for me as a Christian, is my faith pure enough to call pagans, to call people who do not believe in God, who do not believe in the God of Jesus Christ, is my faith pure enough to call them to know Jesus? Certainly what the religious authorities had done, they had made the house of prayer into a den of robbers, and the pagans could not be influence at all to faith in this sense. And we too, in our own lives, we're called to look at our lives and say, is my heart a house of prayer, or is my heart a den of robbers? Think of the people who I live with. Think of the people I work with. Think of the people I encounter in the streets. Do they see in me a house of prayer, or do they see in me a den of robbers? Then there's a third element, which I find very beautiful in all of this. You know that, what were they selling in this temple precinct? Animals to be sacrificed. But what is Jesus doing? Why does he make this journey towards Jerusalem? What do we read in this whole passion? We read in the letter to the Hebrews, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. What does Jesus give? Not an external sacrifice, but he gives his very self. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the one who takes upon himself the sin of the world. And we're invited to give him in this week all of our sins, all of our failures, because he is the unblemished Lamb who will go to the cross and give himself as a sacrifice in his very body for all of us. It is this sacrifice, being God, he is God, which will change the world. It will open the heavens for us, and we will be given the Spirit of Christ to live a new life. There's a real sense that we are all victims of sin. You know that sin has entered the world. We've all been infected by sin, whether you're a Christian, you're a Jew, you're a Muslim, and we carry within ourselves this element to go along with the crowd. You know that it's interesting, the reference you make to Jesus and Barabbas. You know, who are these two people? You know, the word Barabbas is very interesting. Barabbas, what does it mean? Son of the Father, literally. And so, and Jesus is Son of the Father. But the same choice is made to us every day. Which Son of the Father do I choose? Because Barabbas is the son of which father? The father of lies. Because Barabbas is a freedom fighter. No, he wants freedom for the Jewish people from the Roman authorities, the ruthless Roman authorities who inflicted violence on the Jewish people. But how does he go about it? He wants a justice which is based on violence. And very often, we choose that, do we not? I mean, we think of when we have problems with another person, for example, between a man and a wife in the marriage, I imagine sometimes there's a violence of not speaking to the other. Or we can go on strike and say, you know, I won't cook your meal tonight, or I won't iron your clothes tonight. That happens, doesn't it, I think? And so there's that kind of violence. And every day we choose Barabbas. We don't choose the Son of the Father who has transformed the world with love. With love, where we are called to love to the end, to love the enemy, to love the one who does us wrong, to take the suffering that I truly encounter through the injustice of the other, because there is a suffering, to take that suffering, and instead of answering evil with evil, I answer evil with good. And the suffering that I encounter, I take it and offer it up for the person who is doing evil to me. This is what we are called to. So it's not a matter of inflicting the blame on the Jews, on Christians. I really want us, and this is the point of the Passion Sunday. We're not recalling a history of 2,000 years ago. In the Holy Father's Lenten message, he's saying to us, look at your lives today, because this Lent is calling us to a conversion of my heart, to say, do I want to live, follow Jesus, this sequela I was talking to, all the way to the cross, this crucified love. Is it possible to have this crucified love, where a love that is crucified for the other, that I give myself completely to the other, even to the point that it kills me? Kills me, literally. Wasn't this the example of all the martyrs? But we are called to that kind of martyrdom today in our own lives, to love to the end, because we know that Christ will raise this love up for you and for me.
Wasn't it Mother Teresa who said, love until it hurts?
Absolutely. And, you know, Tracy, I knew Mother Teresa quite well. And this was the joy of the sisters. It's quite amazing. I go to their homes here in Rome. And these sisters do extraordinary work. They love the unlovable. And often they receive for loving the unlovable simply abuse and ingratitude and pain and suffering. But I think anyone who knows the sisters would say they're the happiest people in the world. Why is that? Because they experience in the suffering the love of Jesus. And we too are called to do this. It's a risk. It's a risk to love until it hurts. But the cross is sweet. When we enter the cross, we're not alone. Jesus redeems it for us. It is in, what does St. Francis say? It is in giving that we receive. It is in dying to ourselves that we receive eternal life. This is the joy of being a priest. How is it possible to be celibate for the kingdom of God? How is it possible? Because living for the other is where I find my joy. How is it possible for Christian parents to be open to life? It is in living for the other that I receive life. How is it possible to care, look after someone who is elderly, dying, with whom the world says, today, let us end their life prematurely, because it is in giving that I receive life. How is it possible to look after a child who is handicapped or Down syndrome, because it is in giving of myself that I receive life? This is what the whole of Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, Holy Week is all about.
And a very warm thanks there to Monsignor Anthony Figueredo, an official at the Pontifical Council Cor Unum. Thank you.